This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
Hello.
And Roberto.
Hey, what's up?
We took off last week because we were out in Las Vegas at CES 2023. Had a very busy show.
It was. It started real lax, and it felt weird that we were out there, and it was
then
like,
it flipped.
We were
what's
like,
happening here?
We were like, oh, strange. This is what it's going to be like. Nope.
Not at all. And it was full-blown CES.
We had 2 days of back-to-back
We really
meetings.
Wanted it to be a three-day thing. Yeah. Like, we wanted to split them out, but the way everybody was doing, like, we were done basically Thursday, and people were like, all right, day one of CES.
Right.
Like, day one, we're leaving.
Yeah, we got people asking, are you going to this? And I'm like, no, we'll be home, bro.
We're heading back.
Yeah.
But it kind of worked out. We ended up getting to play a lit par 3 course.
Yes.
That was fun at Angel Park.
Not just lit, it was like lit. Awesome.
It was lit.
It was lit up.
The chain.
No cap.
Zero.
Promise y'all, it was no cap.
No cap, for real.
No, it was lit up. Like, yeah. We got there that night. The sun goes down at this time of year at like 4:20 or 4:10 or 4:15 or something dumb.
Very early in Vegas.
Because Vegas is on the very eastern side of the most western time.
Right.
So we kind of see the opposite here where we live. We're on the very west edge of our time zone. So we have the longest possible days.
Yeah.
The latest possible sunsets, basically. In our time zone. So,
Vegas, not so much.
Yeah, exactly opposite. So I was like, some of them probably won't get down to like 5-ish or something. And we're like, and I looked it up and like, nope, like 4:17 was the sunset.
Yeah.
Not beginning of dusk, sunset. Yeah.
It was all
dark.
So weird because like you always have to deal with the time change, but then you had that with the sun setting at like
feeling
4:20, whatever. And it's like, we're sitting down to eat and like, man, why are we so tired? Why are we so hungry? I'm like, well, it's like 8:30 where we're from.
Yeah, and it's been dark.
It's been dark since we got here.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a good show. Once we got settled in, we had Wednesday and Thursday kind of back-to-back meetings.
Yeah,
we,
all day.
For those, I guess, kind of a little tidbit here, a little behind the scenes. We don't go to the show floor anymore.
Normally, it's like we don't go there for much.
We normally go there for Samsung. We've gone the past couple times. Past couple years. We haven't been there the past couple years.
Yeah.
The past few times we have been at CES, we've gone to the show floor for Samsung.
Yes.
This year, we did not. Day one, we were basically finishing up stuff. So most of the meetings that we do are with one-on-one with manufacturers in suites in hotels.
Dispersed about Las Vegas.
And one, the HP, if you all go watch the HP Dragonfly Pro video, you'll notice that one's at like a little miniature CES.
It's real weird.
It's so weird, man.
Such a big show, it has like shows inside of shows.
There's like parties, there's all this different stuff. There's hotels that are basically taken over by CES, and then you have show floor, and it was wild.
Yeah.
So Pepcom was the first.
What's it stand for? Like, what is that for?
Pepcom. Mm. I have no idea.
Pepper Communications.
Mm. Yeah.
No idea.
Peppered in. But Pepcom is normally like a bunch of kind of obscure things is what it
Most
seems
times,
like.
I ran into the people that make this dog groomer I just
it
bought.
It was so cool. It was crazy. We were standing there talking. So anyways, the Pepcom is at the Sands Venetian, which is where CES used to be way back in the day.
No, that wasn't at Sands Venetian.
Was it not? No, Pepcom was at...
That was where we went to Mediatek and Asus. Was it Sands Venetian?
That's right.
It all blurs together for me.
Where the heck was that?
Yeah, sure. It wasn't the Wynn. It wasn't Cosmopolitan. It wasn't...
I don't know. It wasn't Caesars. Caesars is where
Resort,
we went.
Been at the Venetian.
Resort World was at...
Because the Venetians...
Lenovo.
Their ballrooms and stuff look very similar to
Mandalay
Bay.
I think it was Venetian.
In our first couple of years, those first things, Pepcom and that stuff were in Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
It all looks very similar. So it gets hard to remember.
Yeah. So anyway, we went there for HP. For whatever reason, HP doesn't do a booth at... They don't have a booth at the show. They probably save a ton of money. Yeah, they don't rent out
100%.
They literally had one table, just a regular table with two or three devices on it. Then they own Poly and a couple of other companies. Poly had some stuff set up across the way, but it was literally a Windows Dragonfly and this, and then what they had like an all-in-one monitor or something.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like a state fair kind of.
It does.
Yeah.
If you went to an event space, not even that much.
Like a job fair. It's just rows of tables. Like, yeah,
Pepcom's weird.
It's pretty strange. Yeah.
But we ran into a bunch of people.
It was great.
People there.
Paul Abdul was there.
Yeah, Paul Abdul.
Seriously, she was
ran
there.
Down.
Almost
Gabe
killed me.
Yeah.
But we're standing there talking to some people, and this small lady comes walking up. And she's like, "Gabriel, hey!" And I'm like, and then I see her name tag. I realize who she is. She's a PR. She works for a PR company for another product called Airgram. That we've been covering. It's like a Google Meet video transcription thing for different video conferences. She walks up. She's like, "Oh, you got to come by and see our booth for your go." She was there representing this dog grooming vacuum.
The brand on it now. But we just bought it two weeks ago for Honey. And yeah, it's like a Flobee for dogs, basically. Yeah. But it also has like grooming tools. It's all attached to this really quiet vacuum that's still got a lot of suction, but it's quiet. Yeah. So it doesn't freak the dog out. So like she barks at every vacuum ever, but that vacuum she doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can like comb her and brush her and get all the hair and you just hit this little button, it goes into the vacuum. And so we're walking over there. I'm like, yeah, we bought something similar to this, thinking someone's knocked this off on Amazon.
It's there's a million of them on like AliExpress or whatever.
And so we get around the corner and I see one model and I'm like, yeah, it's something like that. And I look over, I'm like,
there it is.
That's it. That's the thing I've got. And like, that's actually
weird happenstance.
Super weird. But it was kind of cool.
But they, so like we don't go to other than that, we don't go to
where Mediatek and Asus were and the Venetian Sands. That's another exposition center. I mean,
but
it's
like
right.
They're like
but
individual
they still have their
rooms.
Own areas.
It's more like individual booths versus the open showroom. The stuff you see a lot of times on the open showroom floor at CES. We didn't even touch that.
It would have been fun. I mean, we were talking earlier
about extra day would have been kind of cool to go play around in there.
We were talking about Mr. Mobile, his recap, Michael Fisher's recap, and there was some cool stuff that he got to see that was
Joe
probably
and Robbie are in it. If you go watch it,
yeah.
When
in the Asus booth, you'll see Joe and Robbie.
Yeah.
We ran into him quite a bit.
Yeah, it was cool
this year. So. But yeah, it was neat too, like a lot of connections you've made at the MediaTek Summit the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like we were able to see some of those guys and hang out with them.
And it's just funny, like you see like the first MediaTek event I went to, it was like, how do all these people know each other? But now you see, it's like, oh, you end up running into people. We were at the Google event and it's like, oh, hey, here's so and so and so and so, you know, right. Like you end up just kind of
as big as you know, bloggers and influencers are in the industry. We are still kind of a small segment because a lot of the people, the media you see at CES is mainstream media. I mean, we went to one private party and there was a guy from AARP there,
which is so weird
because they write about this stuff. Right. They write about technology. I mean, Fox News, CNBC, MSN, these are, you know, so, and CNET, all these
huge
they're
covering CNET, for sure.
We're all kind of like a little group. We stick together.
Yeah. The creators.
But it was a super fun CES. It was nice to be in person for the first time in a few years. And it was nice to get our hands on some devices. And this was probably, as far as number of things we covered, this was probably the most
populated CES that we did.
Absolutely, hands down. Because
I'm trying to think of 2020, how many things we covered.
You had the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook. You had Asus's 436.
Acer, that was the bendy screen year.
Yeah, those were like
were the AMD HPs, so there were like, was that that year or the year before?
There were like three or four. So.
There weren't that many flagship like consumer facing devices.
Right.
I think we put out five videos, right? Five published videos on the main channel this year.
This year,
yeah. How many?
We will.
Yeah.
We
once you get out the Acer.
I got the Acer out yesterday. No, wait, no. The Acer.
The new and all-in-one. Oh,
is that done?
Yeah.
Sweet. So, yeah, that'll make the HP, the Asus, and the Asus again. Add in one. Which one am I forgetting?
Lenovo. Free
eye. Yep, we got that one out while we were there. That's why I'm forgetting it. So, yeah, it'll make five main channel videos. Tons of social content.
Yeah, I mean, seven social videos, I think. So, yeah, it was just...
And that wasn't even... I mean, you still had the Asus Chromebox, which is pretty cool. I mean, there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we didn't talk about
Chromebox. Oh, yeah, we didn't even cover... We didn't even make a main channel video on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Chrome OS stuff. So, we're going to dig into all of that. I do, though, before we get to our favorites that we saw at CES... What are some of the random things that we did get to see that you all thought were interesting?
100% the 3D screen from Asus. And that's what Michael Fisher actually named that his PC. You didn't watch the full video.
Yeah. I want to watch. Yeah, I got to where he talks about the foldable
stuff. He gives his best in show.
It was wild.
And he says this too. There's no way you can watch it on video and experience how crazy. Like, he showed up and they had a custom made foam cutout of his face because this thing uses eye tracking software. So they had it a hole cut in it so he could put his camera lens in there and take it. And even then, you'll watch it and you think, oh, this is blah.
He got a few angles where it captured it a little bit.
Kind of, but nowhere near reality.
I don't know where you would go see one, but if you
hopefully
ever...
Big Best Buys, eventually. Big,
if you ever have a chance to get... What was it called? It's the Pro Art 3D Pro...
I'm thinking
Pro and
Tom.
3D
Tom the
Pro
Tech
Art.
Chap had a few good angles where you could see it a little bit.
And they've got some demos on their website that give you the illusion of what it's doing, but I mean, it literally, without any type of accessories or peripherals, it looks like you could reach out and grab the stuff that's in front of you.
I mean, it's coming out from the screen so far, like a full hand's length away from the screen. Like,
the depth switching thing that it did.
Yeah, so the Avatar movie's playing, so it's only doing it on first party content, so it's not like you can turn on a 3D YouTube video to make it work, which they should figure that out, but because it's just parallax. It's splitting the screen into two screens and shooting it at your eyeballs, basically. Yeah. But the Avatar demo, you know, where they got the
floaty
the
jellyfish
floaty,
things.
Yeah. The things that look like big dandelions. There's a slider on their video player for that thing. You slide it to basically regular 3D or like 3D
inverted
that way. And so it would look like
everything shifts.
You're looking at it. What are those things you made in elementary school? Where you took like a shoebox and you put stuff in it.
Oh, a diorama?
Yeah, it looks like a diorama, basically. So all the three dimensions are going inward instead.
And what it has, there's multiple layers on top of the main screen is how it creates it. But again, there's eye tracking software, so it will find your eyes that way. It knows
exactly
as you
how
move
to
your head,
them to. Yeah.
And it's kind of moving with you as you move.
Well, and it's not just that. Like, that's the motion tracking technology, but that it uses the eye tracking things to basically align those parallax layers
and to get the distance correct. Yeah,
and so you've probably seen it. There's certain like postcards you can get every once in a while that have a parallaxing effect on the postcard, and you hold it, and you like there's stuff coming off the card. It's like, wow, that's really interesting. What the right? You can take that postcard and kind of keep moving it until you get it the right distance, and your eyes are the right amount apart for that 3D to kick in. Well, this screen is just doing that for you, and so it's the best 3D period that I've ever seen. That's fake 3D.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen anything quite
and
that
no
good.
Glasses. Yeah.
I didn't say this. I think, did we do a video or something about this? I wrote an article about it, and I didn't say that in an article. I should have. The more I've thought about it, like, even with VR glasses, which are, you know, very good at three-dimensional things, because you're looking at two different screens, it can create depth, and it does a great job of creating depth this way. But where VR glasses really struggles, if anything's coming out of the screen towards you, like, and you can do it, you can put your hand in front of you, and it's hard to get focus on something that's too close to you because your eyes...
It's not direct line of sight.
Right, the angle's messed up, and your eyes can't put together the thing it needs to see. It did the best job of any 3D medium I've ever seen of doing that, like this. I had 3D rendering of this Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I turned it to where its head was out towards me, and it visually looked like it was probably 6 to 8 inches away from the screen towards my face, and I could focus perfectly in on its eyes and teeth and everything as I moved it around. I'm like, this is bonkers how good this is. Practical application, can't think of one, but it's still one of those pieces of tech that you look at and go,
wow,
holy, like, this is just insane.
I didn't get to use the pen, but I saw Michael Fisher using the pen, being able to control yeah. what's on screen
in space.
And yeah. that's what I think, you know, you see like Google and different companies doing like 3D models for like biotech and medical applications. I could totally see this being used for that. I'm sure there's other stuff that they've thought of, but you think about, you know, doctors collaborating around the world and actually being able to really get into 3D models and dissect things. But I mean,
I tell you, you know, where I could see it 100% being very useful. You remember that thing? I think it was two Google events ago where they, no, it was I.O. where they showed the really high quality video chatting. You know, it's like a 3D looking yeah. thing. Imagine doing that and seeing the other person being captured in a 3D that a screen like that on a little bit bigger of a scale yeah. could re-render them in yeah. three dimensions where you can see around them.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, as you're looking like yeah. that would very, be next level.
Yeah. That's
that would
like
be so interactive.
You're in person almost. Right. Yeah. 100%.
That would be close to like a hologram situation.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. And yeah. this particular tech is that good. Like it would be scary. Honestly, I think doing a video call, if the other side was being captured in proper 3D and then being relayed to you to where you could see it that way,
that would be wild.
It would be really wild.
Yeah.
Because that person would basically just come out of the screen.
Yeah, because, I mean, 3D, as consumers know it, is still somewhat two-dimensional. It's all based on you facing forward at whatever you're viewing right. at. But to be able to actually see it, it's almost a meld of AR because it's in an actual space that you right. can get around. That's
right.
That would be very strange.
Yeah. I thought the Asus was amazing. Asus's booth is always just kind of cool. Like, they have a lot of cool stuff. All their gaming stuff was cool. Yeah. Their gaming rig setup is nice.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say that the area that we were in, that is just for PR. Like, there's no public folks that come in there. So I wonder, who knows what their main booth looked like, but that was a nice booth. Lenovo is known for bringing crazy stuff to CES. Oh, yeah. there's been some wild things that they've brought before, and they had another dual screen.
Yep.
It's not a folding display. It has a hinge in the middle, but it's two screen PC.
Surface Duo the size of a laptop.
Right.
Yeah. Basically.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes.
It was exactly what it is.
And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Keyboard, but a Bluetooth keyboard on.
One that we saw in 2020, did that ever come to market? The
it
folding
did.
One?
It did. It was too expensive. And
the X1. Was problems. That the Fold
they've,
X1? They
made a new one. Yeah. They've made a new one, too, that Michael Fisher's got a video about it, but it's still not available.
Yeah.
And this one supposed to become available in November.
Did they say I heard someone say like $2,100. I don't know.
With all of it.
I could buy that.
Because it does come with a cool origami stand and the Bluetooth keyboard that'll flop on top. And I thought that was interesting. I don't know. I think maybe setting them side by side could be super productive, having two displays right side by side.
Yeah.
The waterfall, and maybe it was just the demo wasn't great, but like in waterfall, she was trying to scroll and it was like breaking, and then like the top was scrolling and the bottom wasn't scrolling. I was like, oh boy.
Well, then your menu or your taskbar was still present in the top screen.
Right. It wasn't.
Like, so you had a huge break between. So that's a little weird, but I do think that.
And obviously, this is like prototype
bottom
stuff.
And top. So basically, opening the clamshell and then just setting it upright is attractive to me. I use a screen over
That's
top of my
true.
Screen,
right.
so like
right.
that as a multitasking thing would be awesome. But I just can't imagine, like, this is a device that's like, oh, you can consume content on it because it makes a really good tablet because you flip it around in tablet mode and it's like there's no keys or anything on it, so it would feel pretty good that way. But I'm like, would I really want to go through all that hubbub every time I want to open my laptop and do something? Like, if I got a task that should take me 2 minutes, do I really want to get all that crap out? And if not, you're going to open it up like a laptop and then be typing on a haptic virtual keyboard. Some of their stuff just kind of feels like,
first off, shout out to them. They always have a great setup. They have their main room with all their devices, but then they had two other rooms with all the devices, but they were kind of like private, so we were able to go in there, close the door.
Go watch the video. Yeah. It's our best one from
CES. But they always have like duplicate rooms set up just for that purpose, but they had another one. They did an e-ink solution a couple of years ago where the e-ink was on the back of the outer, the back of the outer panel of the laptop. Well, they have a new one that the e-ink will actually, you can actually pull up your Windows instance on that e-ink, which is really weird. I've never seen anything like that. Kind of a cool concept, but it's e-ink and you're trying to view like Windows desktop icons and stuff on e-ink. And I'm like,
and not just that, but the screen flipped.
Yeah. That was cool. So the screen rotated.
That was the one. Yeah.
But pulling up Windows and trying to open applications on the e-ink screen, I'm like, cool, but I don't know that anyone's going to do that.
Well, I think the benefit there is that if you're wanting to read a document instead of having to run it through some proprietary software, it's running Windows. Yeah. You just open it.
I could see that.
Because that's the benefit of e-ink, is that you could have it in a meeting or something like that. You could have it just closed, basically, and have a document pulled up and zero battery use while you're sitting there, which is really cool. I was more intrigued, I think, by the spinning part. Like, the hinge of that thing
was so tight. Yeah, it was really good.
Because ultimately, if they could get that hinge right, imagine for a second something that built like a Pixelbook with a very symmetrical top and bottom where you could spin the top and close it down and cover the keyboard up and still have the same back and pick that kind of device up. Because this one was a little offset and it's definitely a laptop that was a tablet afterwards. But it's something that was thoughtfully made that it could be a laptop or a tablet type replacement there. I think that would be really intriguing because people hate the keys and the trackpad all on the back when you flip a convertible over, so that kind of undoes that that issue. But I mean, those couple things I think kind of cool.
I was pulling it up because I couldn't remember the name, but the Sony and Honda collaboration, they're making a new EV brand called Afila.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And
a lot of people were giving it like best in show.
Moving entertainment space.
I read just as many things saying it's still vaporware. It's just like, remember in 2020, Sony had a car, an EV, that they debuted.
What I think is more interesting, I forget the two vehicles, the Volvo and there was one other one.
BMW had that.
No, the one in the Google booth. There were the two ones in the Google booth.
I don't remember.
The Hyundai, was it a Hyundai?
It's maybe? The new Hyundai, not the Ioniq 5.
Yeah, I don't know. Regardless, I like seeing those companies that are out there in the market putting out EVs,
The Audi they had in Google's booth the last time we went was bad.
They had an Audi there this time too.
Yeah, I think the one that was there last time, they had it right back there by the ball pit. Thing was sick.
Yeah, but this, CES is obviously a place for these companies to show off EV tech. And
I just remembered that we took a lap around Pepcom, and I completely forgot that Citizen was there. We should have went over.
It's not
Wear OS, but
I saw them. Because remember, I was like, "Oh, look, there's." Yeah. And we just never made it back over there. The other cool thing that we did in Vegas, if you saw on our Instagram story, was we took a ride on the Vegas Loop.
Yeah.
Which was about 45 seconds.
We waited longer at the gate. Loop. Yeah, than we did.
Did you see some of the footage, though, of other people that got on in the south entrance, and it's like all LEDs and like crazy and then music playing? Yeah, like the one that we went to was like very tame. There was no lights or nothing. Like, we walked up and paid and got in the vehicle, and then they dropped us off in this kind of parking lot.
The one on the south side
of the convention center is like this bigger room, and there was all these lights, LED lights along the side, these big screens, and like that music playing. More fun. I know, I'm like, dang, that would have made our video way cooler, but the idea is very fascinating. And we did. I mean, we went from on the other side of the strip where there's all the hotels and it's very busy. We went from there to the convention center in 45 a minute.
Is it Cosmo? Quick. Is that where we got in?
Yeah.
No, it was Resorts World. So we were up on the far there and we got all the way to the convention center in about 40, because it's a underground
straight
direct
line.
Shoot.
Yeah.
No so stops. The idea there is fascinating.
Instagram
obviously
liked it. My reel blew up. Yeah. I did. Yeah.
Cool stuff. There's obviously a lot to see at CES that we didn't even get a chance to go look at. Yeah. But there
Tons
was lots
of
cool Chrome OS stuff. So we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we're going to come back and talk about those. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN.
We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. As promised, let's dig into our Chrome OS top picks from CES.
Top picks.
Top picks.
This will be short. I think we're all the same. Do it.
Yeah, I think this is just a round table. Yeah.
All the Chrome stuff.
It's just all the Chrome stuff. Here we go. Number one. I'm just going to go in order of how we cover them.
Start with boxes.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's start with shapes.
Yeah. Sure.
Let's start with boxes.
Asus.
Yeah. It's Chromebox.
Charging.
That's
on
my
top.
Hey,
round of corners. But yeah, it's got
One of my top picks, though. I mean, Acer's got theirs, which is fine, but Asus's looks.
It is
dope.
Pretty.
Acer came out with a couple years ago. I think it was the 8th gen.
Pill shape.
Yeah, and it had the little stand, so it sat vertically. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Then they went back kind of commercial looking, and everybody's had that traditional square one. Acer's had one. Asus had one. CTL, all that. Asus's this year looks dope, and they've rebranded. They no longer say Chrome on the top. They have
a
monochromatic Chromebox logo, and it looks sick. But then the Asus has a 15-watt wireless charger in there,
which
is so cool. Robbie discovered
that
a few months ago.
I was like, not sure what this is going to be, but
hey, you got it sitting on the desk. Boom,
makes sense.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's there. I love it.
Yeah. It has a bunch of ports on the back.
Plenty of ports. I think it'll run four monitors.
Yeah, 4K displays.
It's no bigger than any previous model. So it's, I mean, if you just had that on, like I could put that on my desktop right now and I could eliminate everything on my desk other than my monitor.
If I didn't review Chromebooks, I would be a Chromebox guy.
Yeah.
100%.
So. Yeah. And 12th gen, I'm assuming, the new good
all
stuff.
All the new goodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can also run games on it eventually.
Yeah. And same thing with the Acer Chromebox. It's
internally
new,
same
stuff.
Same
4K
stuff.
Or 4K monitors.
Yeah, and that's why this year was kind of cool because Chromeboxes are Chromeboxes. It really boils down to the price and the ability. Some Chromeboxes are a little bit more difficult to get apart, but
Asus have always been super easy.
Yeah,
just pop the top off.
But upgrade the RAM and the storage in them. They're all pretty much the same. The internals are the same. It's just the price and the customer support that you're going to get. This year, we saw two new Chromeboxes that have two new features that we've never really seen before. Acer's isn't completely unique because CTL has been doing for a while now. They do like a monitor Chromebox bundle that they call an all-in-one. It's really not. It's just mounted to the back of it. But Acer took it a little bit further. Theirs has like, they have one variation that has this cool slot in the back where the Chromebox slides into. The Chromebox itself is very industrial. It's very much an enterprise device. It's not going to look attractive sitting on your desk, in my opinion.
It is not.
But
it's not attractive.
Even though looks like they had a little stand that you could...
Yeah, they do have a vertical stand.
It looks like a heat sink.
That's exactly what it looks like, one of these like kiosk ones that have a heat sink and it's metal and all that stuff. But like the cheese grater one that's on my desk right now. But they... the add-in one, which is what they're calling it, it's more than just a monitor. The monitor has ports. It has a built-in 5-megapixel webcam,
yeah,
I think.
For sure.
Noise reduction, privacy shade, and everything built in. So the premise is you have your Chromebox that comes with the keyboard and mouse, and then you have your add-in one, and it's everything you need.
Yeah.
So, and then if you need to, you can just take the Chromebox with you, take it home, work from home, whatever.
Yeah, they posited that as a use case. I'm like,
I think that's weird. I mean,
have one of the monitor add-in ones at home, one at home, one at work, and just take your box with you and put it in your bag.
Like, yeah, again, it's one of those things. It's plausible. Is it a big use case? No. I could see like, hey, you're taking an extended absence from work and you need to take a work managed work device. Absolutely, that's going to happen. The percentage is going to be
I think that the bigger use case is you got 50 of them in a workspace.
Desk was coming up there for a second.
You got a bunch of them workspace. This person's monitor went out. Cool.
Yeah.
Put a new add-in one, drop your box back in, and get back to work.
Right.
You don't have to mess with this.
But they did tell us the original announcement, it's just a 23.8-inch full HD display. They have one that goes up and down, and then they have another one that has like a pretty good degree of tilt. But they said that they are in the process of working on a larger version, so maybe like a 32 or something like that, but also a rotating version, because there is a touchscreen option, and that would put it a bit more on par with HP's Chrome base.
Yeah.
So it becomes more of a Chrome base, a little bit more functionality, because you think kiosk applications for customers who need to interact with stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's a little, it's different. It's not anything new and groundbreaking, but it's innovative for that space.
Yeah, it's a slightly different take on
on
something. They're doing something a little different. And I think with Chrome boxes, you know, you can get a little creative on some of this stuff and try to fancy it up.
I keep hoping for a Chrome bit, though. I mean, the Chrome bit makes more sense now than it did 10 years ago when it came out.
Any of these MediaTek processors, and a little stick.
I mean, you think about Chrome OS Flex, you can take that anywhere with you and run it, but you're limited to the amount of, what is it, 8 gigs of storage or whatever. But you know, a dedicated, this is my thing, because you think about what they're saying with the Chrome box. Oh, well, you could take it home with you, whatever. Chrome bit makes way more sense for that.
Way more sense. Put it in your pocket.
Asus.
Yeah. So next up, let's talk about the Lenovo.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go in the order that we filmed them.
It's pretty straightforward. It was actually announced before CES, but we got to mess with it and kind of confirm what we were hoping about it. It's a small-ish Chromebook. It's going to be affordable, $350, I think, starting $464, I think, is the configuration there. But it's got the N100 or N200 processors inside. I don't know if we were supposed to, but we did anyway. We ran a benchmark on the N100 because we're just curious. It's the newest small core. So if you keep up with this stuff, you know, you think Jasper Lake, you think Gemini Lake, that kind of stuff. This is the latest version of that.
Right.
But they're getting rid of all this naming and stuff. It's just Alder Lake is where we're at right now, 12th gen. So it's Alder Lake N, meaning just the small cores.
And it's a little bit of a different take than what we're used to with Intel. The small core ones are usually dual core or quad core. The new N Lake series, it's up to like 8 small cores. Yeah. So they're all power efficient. There's no power cores or anything like that. They're touting like 15-hour battery life and all that stuff. But I saw there's an Acer Windows device that's actually available now that has a N300 in it. I would love to see what that thing does. But
yeah, so I think they said May, didn't they?
Yeah.
For this one, so it's not going to be out quite yet. And you know, Alder Lake N needs probably a little bit more time to be worked on. But the key parts of this device are it's a 16x10 panel at full HD resolution, 300 nits. Thank you.
What's that? Is it?
For making...
What size is it?
12.2.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit taller display. It's a good looking panel. It's a convertible, and you know, it has the performance you're gonna want and battery life you're gonna want out of a device like this. Keyboard feels okay, and you know, the trackpad was okay too, but it was pretty firm for a plastic an all plastic device, and it's just gonna be one of those devices. It's gonna come out, it's gonna go on sale, and it's gonna be sub $300 and benchmarks we ran on it's pushing up towards like the 10th gen Core i3
scores. It's crazy.
Just nuts for an affordable device that's going to get wicked battery life. I mean, you're just gonna be able to use this thing for probably a couple days of work before you have to charge it. So that device is interesting, because I feel like it's something that has a lot of what users are going to want and need in a Chromebook, and the price is going to be fine, and the performance isn't going to be a problem. Like, I felt like with Jasper, like, we got close. It was like,
it was a big leap, but it wasn't quite there yet.
These you won't have any issue with performance on a Chromebook. It's going to be great. Interesting.
Were there two colors? Because I saw someone else got a photo of their blue color that they do.
I thought ours was blue.
Okay, well, then there was another one. Somebody wrote an article, and it was about the 3i, and it was a different color.
I mean, they usually do the abyss blue and then like a
gray or something.
Sand.
Yeah. So maybe it was like we had the blue and then they had the gray. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to say it was maybe Kevin. I don't know. I saw a headline that was a different color.
Interesting device.
Definitely interesting. And it's kind of this idea that we've talked about on the podcast and Robbie's written about of kind of that entry level getting a little better, right?
Let's, and let's bring it up a little
and
bit.
And another device that showed up that we did not expect to see at all was the Asus CM14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's same idea here. You know, it's affordable, but it's got some stuff in it that's better than what you'd expect.
And built really well, just the demo units, because we actually saw it before we got to Asus. We were at MediaTek's booth talking to our friends with MediaTek, and they had a GeForce Now setup thing where you could play GeForce Now, and they had two of these MediaTek-powered Chromebooks that are previously on.
What are these?
There's still no press release about them. I look, they're not in any of the press releases.
They have a landing page, but no press release.
Yeah, the landing page. So there's a flip and a clamshell, and it's the MediaTek Companio 520. So,
and he said that 528 offers like a 10% boost or something.
But just clocked up a little.
It's not going to be a huge boost for most things. From what we could tell, I mean, it moved around pretty good.
External monitor, GeForce Now running,
you
Discord.
Get 1080p out, so that was the problem with the original Duet. Couldn't do a 1080p monitor output. That's fixed. And it was running GeForce Now with
Discord
in the bottom screen, like live streaming what we were doing, and it worked, you know. This one, I think, is going to be like a $300-ish machine.
They didn't give us any firm pricing or release date on this one.
No, and the trackpad's nice and large. It had a 1080p webcam, and it's super thin. Like that's what I remember about that device. Like,
I got a couple shots really of it in tint mode, and it's just
because it's an ARM processor. Yeah. They don't have to have all that fan junk in there. And then it's got a stowable stylus on the side, which is a nice touch.
I forgot about the stylus.
I expect for a low-end $300 Chromebook to have a garaged USI recharging pin.
And this, we've talked about for so long is that $300 to $400 price range in Chromebooks is such a weird space because to get something that's middle-of-the-road specs and power, you're creeping up to $500. And at that point, you might as well buy a premium device. Anything below $300 is usually that budget, bad screen. Yep. We have three devices at CES, the Lenovo and two of the Asuses that are both I could at $300 or $350, I could easily say, hey, buy it.
Those. Yeah. The clamshell, was it a matte screen?
Yeah, it was anti-glare. I don't even think it had touch on it. I feel like it was the cheapest version of this thing. So it might, again, until they come out, it's hard to say.
But the flip one, I thought the screen looked pretty good on
it. It's 250 nits, good colors and stuff like that. And obviously it flips around into tablet mode and stuff. But good potential there. But I just like seeing some of those improvements range.
For sure.
It's nice.
On the Asus train, let's talk about the gaming device.
This one was way more exciting. Yeah. This one and the HP are the ones that I was really excited
to saved the
see.
Best for last.
Because that's what, remember, going to the Asus booth a couple years ago with the C436, all we had seen was pictures. We had these super high hopes that this is going to be Asus's swing at Samsung and everyone else. And the gorgeous device.
It was.
And so disappointing.
And so there's a little bit of is this going to be okay or not? And especially, you know, we just put out our review of the CX55. Yeah. And, you know, just calling a spade a spade. It was a rehashed Chromebook. Yep. You know, they at least let us know that, that's exactly what it was. We wanted to get in on it, and we had these lying around. It was the CM5, basically, with new internals. And so this new Chromebook is not that at all. This is a completely new thing. It doesn't look like anything Asus has made before. No. I'm pretty sure it's mostly plastic. Maybe all plastic. I don't remember. I don't even feel like the lid was.
I think it was plastic.
I'm not sure.
But it's an interesting plastic, similar to what Asus is doing with that flip. With the MediaTek flip. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. And it's rigid, like very, very rigid, but it's like a pearlescent white kind of look to it. It was nice to hold. Like the keyboard felt really good, the trackpad felt good, the screen's 400 nits. It was a 16x10 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was Lenovo 3x2 or 16x10?
I think it was 16x10, but I could be wrong.
I was in my head, I was like, it might be, I think it's 16x10 anyway. 16x10, 400 nit, full HD screen, full HD plus. I think the webcam's like 5 megapixels or something. I don't know. and we couldn't, it was really loud in that booth. And so we tried to listen to the speakers to see, because the only good thing I can say about the Vibe CX55 and the CX5 and the CM5, they're all the same chassis. The speakers in those things are excellent. Couldn't really tell, but definitely not as loud as the CX5.
They have a stylus?
Mm-hmm. Stowable stylus inside. So at first I thought it was going to have vibes kind of like the CX5400, which we all love, you know, all aluminum, thin, all that kind of stuff. Not really.
No, it's way more CM5 vibes.
Yeah.
Just well built.
Right. Yeah. RGB keyboard, we didn't say that.
Oh, 144 hertz.
Yeah, 144 hertz screen. So, I mean, it does all the gaming stuff right. Plus, it's got tons of internal speed, Core i5, 12th gen, 256 memory, 16 gigs of RAM, I think.
Eight for the 769, then
$100 gets you.
$100 more gets you double the storage and double the RAM. That's on Asus's website right now.
So, I mean, it's going to be a good Chromebook. Yeah. It's going to be a very good Chromebook for a lot of people. It's got a nice look to it, too. Like, it doesn't just look like another laptop. Like, it's like, ooh, it's kind of got a thing.
It's got the orange accents, which are nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, having that speed of a processor, I'm sure the pin input's going to be quite nice, too, and having the stylus there. And then it was like, oh, well, this isn't going to be available. They're like, I think like right now.
Yeah, he was like, it's supposed to be on Amazon today or tomorrow.
I'm like, really?
Okay, sure enough, it was on B&H Photo, and it is now shipping. You can get it from a couple different places.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So we'll have that one in the office soon and get to mess around with it. And it's nice to see Asus come back off the CX55 that felt very rushed and just kind of half-hearted to see that. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is probably, if they had their
brother, the device they wanted to do.
This is what they would have wanted to introduce. And it gives you an option, A, for a touchscreen and a convertible and a little bit smaller form factor to get all that cool gaming stuff. And I'll be the first to tell you, like, these gaming Chromebooks are great for GeForce Now. They really are. I mean, they make playing it just a little bit more fun. Like, that high refresh rate screen and stuff. Like, just something about that.
Yeah. And it's still... Asus is still only the only one that has a convertible gaming Chromebook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, their two are the only flips. Yeah. So.
And the only touchscreens on them. So if you really want a gaming Chromebook and you're just like, I got to have a touchscreen.
And that's the cool thing. They're not wild looking, so these legitimately could be respectable work devices. Yeah, and they have plenty of power to do everything. Yeah.
And I feel like Asus mentioned to us a few times about productivity. Like they kept mentioning productivity because I think they do want this one to be a productivity machine in addition to being 100%, a gaming cloud gaming device.
Yeah, they all of them, I think, get the idea that they wanted to lean towards a little bit of gaming, but they wouldn't go like crazy RGB, crazy monster faces,
predator looking,
it's gonna eat you. Oh, like
it's gonna what is
this? Maybe after Steam comes out,
like some sort of transformer. Some of the gaming hardware in general,
I was looking at,
so over the top, ridiculous.
The Asus, they had their Tough gaming
that's
right
what
next
I've got.
To
that's what you have in there, yeah.
It's and they had one that I was like, oh, is that two devices like stacked on top of each other?
Nope.
No. The whole bottom is this like massive cooling system.
It's probably got a desktop GPU in the
bottom. It's like this, it was like this thick on the bottom, and then the laptop looked like it was sitting on top, and I was like, oh no, that's just one whole thing.
It's a whole
thing. At that point, why don't you just get a desktop?
Okay, that way you can pick this thing up, put it in your bag, and take it.
Yeah,
LAN parties, baby.
We call
just
this
the whole world that we don't really know
Asus
anything about.
Slab.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
if you get mad enough at the game, pick it up and you can hit somebody with it.
I love the screen, and it's so hard to capture. We film everything at 30 frames a second, so it's impossible to capture refresh rate on these screens, but I don't know, if you watch it, you might be able to tell some of the smoothness, but 144 hertz done right looks nice.
Yeah, that's the other thing. 144 hertz on their CX55 was terrible.
Yeah, because
like,
you were getting ghosting and weird stuff.
It didn't. I honestly did not believe it was 144 hertz. I thought they
because the other ones are 120, right?
And they look so buttery smooth. Yeah. They're good panels. The Lenovo and the Acer both. They're not touch, not convertible, but they're gorgeous screens. And so, yeah, this one at 144 hertz is, I have a hard time telling the difference between 144 and 120. Like, I switch it on my monitor. My monitor's got, I think, 165 technically, but Chrome OS will do up to 144, at least when I'm the framework I'm running. And I switched it to 144 the other day, and I was like, I can't tell it. As long as it's smooth, like, I can track stuff on the screen without it.
Right,
blurring on the screen. I'm like, that's what I want to see. I just want to see all that animation.
Yeah,
Which Chrome OS looks great.
We forgot to mention the NVIDIA demo that we got to go check out. There was some cool stuff there, yeah, too.
There was.
But mainly the ultimate upgrade that they rolled out.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And technically, it's not like we upgraded while we were sitting there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not actually going to be working probably for another couple weeks until they roll it out to all servers. But yeah, basically, if you're on the top tier, you now go to Ultimate, which is a RTX 4080 running in their little pods. And it gives you up to 240 in standard definite, or like full HD, 240 frames, but 120 in 4K.
Yeah.
And then obviously you still get your 120 in quad HD too. But they got into a lot of stuff about latency with that, which is super interesting. And they were talking about the combination of all the things that, can reduce latency. And one of them is just rendering all the stuff at high frame rates at the server level, because it just takes less time for those things to happen. So even if your screen isn't 120 hertz, if they're rendering it for that, it reduces latency.
You're still getting the benefit.
Right.
Right.
And they were down to 38. Is
38
that what
milliseconds is where they're at.
What was it? Click per action or click per pixel?
It's click per pixel. Click to pixel.
Click to pixel. Yeah.
So it's like the
ratio.
As soon as they do slow-mo stuff, and so as soon as the button gets pressed, how long it takes an action to happen on screen. And the interesting part is they showed what Xbox was like 120.
120.
You know, and some gaming Chromebooks or gaming like laptops will get that number down a little bit below 38. But
and
it's
that's
hard.
Yeah, and that's their whole thing is they're wanting to get this out there and market this as this isn't a concession that you're having to make to do a cloud game. This is a viable alternative to local PC gaming that's just as good. And I mean, we sat down and played some of them.
We were playing on one of their Ultimate servers in California, because they only have like two, I think, on the West Coast right now for trial. And we were in a Vegas convention center thing, and they actually had them. They're really fun little demo. So they had these three towers and these three computers hooked up, and then they would lift the tower side up and show you what was actually in
like
it.
Like a laptop in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one was a
Surface running.
Yeah, it was
Ultimate,
just a plain
Surface. And 3080.
Yeah,
and then something else.
Then GeForce Now.
Yeah.
And you could tell on the Surface was not running Apex Legends very well. Like, it was pretty jittery, probably 20 frames a second, you know. And so, but then there were two that you're just like, I can't really tell. So me and this other guy sat down and we're messing with it, and then we swapped seats. And we both, I think he said he liked the one that I ended up on too. And I was like, I like the look of this better. I don't know what that means. So I was afraid. I was like, crap, I'll probably pick the PC, you know, and it turned out.
But they were that indiscernible. They were,
But it turned out we both chose the better thing was GeForce Now instead of this 3080 PC with.
And in all honesty, I mean, on a good connection, the tier that we have right now, just the 3080 tier, is still incredible
really
gaming.
Fantastic.
So this is
taking it up a notch.
I can't wait to see what. I don't know. I don't know how it could get much better. There's nothing in it that bothers
negative
me.
Negative latency.
Yeah.
It just starts moving.
I want it to move before I click.
He died before I shot him. There you go.
Yeah, I played some Very Fortnite cool. the other day. They've at least got on Fortnite, if you change it to where you can, we did a whole video about this, you know, changing settings. They've updated it already before this Ultimate comes out. DirectX 12 and stuff's already turned on, so you don't have to go in and reboot and stuff like that. You just go in and crank everything up to max. Most of it's already turned up. So my bet is once 4080's there, it'll just be cranked. Because I looked at Apex. So cool. I loaded Apex, and I was like, check these settings. It's already cranked.
Yeah.
Everything's cranked to max.
Yeah.
And no worse for wear.
Yeah.
I guess it just gets a little bit better. I don't know. It's so good.
It's going to somehow get a little better.
Yeah, as long as it'd be like, the latency, hopefully. I don't have any.
Yeah.
No. There's none discernible to me, and I'm not competitive or anything.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like I kind of know a few things about a few things.
Yeah.
It seems pretty darn good to me.
Yeah. It was a cool demo. It was a cool demo for sure, and nice seeing Asus put out a proper gaming device. So.
Yeah. Oh, and the Acer 516 GE was up on their row of, you know, things.
In the NVIDIA booth, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy we talked to is like, I got one of these for my son, or I got one of these for me. I think he's like, my son ended up taking it and really likes it. And I was like, yeah, that's actually what I got in my backpack right now. He's like, oh, cool. Yeah, like, you can do more than just, you know, basic stuff on here. I'm like, looking at my name tag. Like, it's,
yeah.
You know who we are.
That's all we talk about, man. It's
like,
okay.
You don't say.
It's okay.
Yeah, interesting.
Really?
All right, we saved the best for last. We're going to come back and talk about the HP Dragonfly Pro.
Pro.
Coming right back. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. Now it's time to talk about The Dragonfly the Pro. Look at it. Look how good it looks.
Just look at that.
Just look at that. Look how good it looks. For those listening, we're looking at the Dragonfly Pro behind us.
Go watch.
On the TV.
On the TV.
We got a video. Yeah, we got...
Yeah, it's so sweet.
Yeah, we got plenty of stuff out about it. No. But, man, it... I haven't looked forward to a Chromebook like this in a while. I don't think I can say when the review period is going to start, but I was happy about it.
Did you hear anything back about that other thing that we were talking about?
Secrets.
Don't remember.
Secrets. Graphics. Don't make friends.
Huh?
Graphics.
Graphics. I don't know.
The email we got from... What's his face?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that real quick.
But you haven't heard, have you?
No, not officially yet, but I think he's right.
Yeah, it stinks.
But yeah, the Dragonfly Pro, we knew kind of going in, like, this is going to be a super interesting device. And the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, this could be really excellent. And then we got to Pepcom and saw it, and I was like...
It's more than excellent.
It was!
This thing is real cool. You know, if you like the Pixelbook Go... if you were down with that kind of device, like, this is just a great Chromebook experience. I think that's what this is going to do.
Yeah.
I didn't do much on it. They didn't have it on the internet there. And I think they had even said maybe they didn't want it connected.
Oh, no. She literally was sitting there telling someone next to me, I don't know who it was, it might have been Gabe, that they didn't want it on the internet. Robbie's over there creating a hotspot.
Messing with you.
Like, as she's talking, I was like, all right.
It was in, like, guest mode and had that goofy background on it. Or, no, that's what it was. The background that's on there, I put that on there, but it had some weird background, and I was like, oh, this looks awful. And so we went to change it. You can see it in the video. It's that gray. There's that grayish background.
Yeah.
We went to change it, and I guess it wasn't backed up or something. And since it wasn't online, that background went away. Like, it disappeared, so there was no backgrounds to choose from. I'm like, ugh. So I had to get it online for a minute to do that. Like, I didn't run any tests on it or anything.
Yeah.
But... you know, and I'm pretty sure it was in guest mode too, because I think that's our Chrome unboxed icon alignment down there. So I logged us in real quick, and then that was on there. No, that was at Asus. Our account was on there, and that was the only one on there. I was like, power wash. Hope this isn't some weird. It worked out though. But yeah, the premise is pretty simple. You know, it's you take the Dragonfly from last year, remove the convertible stuff. And really hone in the googliness of Chrome OS with this thing. And it does. It feels very Google inspired. Mm-hmm. We talked to some people that may or may not have told us that they were heavily involved. It's pretty clear. But, you know, HP has kind of been moving in that direction. And if you think back, way back to the first HP Chromebook 11, they had a release thing for that with Google. Like, it was a little event, a little online event. And so, you know, HP has worked with Google on Chromebooks for a long time. This one, I know they, you know, we were told last year with the Dragonfly, they worked very closely with Google to get, you know, the haptic trackpad and all that kind of stuff. It feels like this year they said, yeah, we want to make sure all the pieces work, but also, like, how can we make this thing just good?
Yeah.
Like, that last 10%, like, how do we
aesthetic.
Get it from
yeah.
just, yeah, because the Pixelbook Go isn't like some revolution in specs. I mean, it had a pretty ordinary screen on it. I mean, it was a 1080p, like 300 nit screen. Yeah. It wasn't great. But they got all the little details that are needed to make a great experience right. The way it feels when you hold it, the trackpad, the keyboard, the speakers, just the feel of the device, like the attention to details, and that's the exact vibe I got off of the HP one.
Yeah, and it's weird because we've seen other devices. The CX9 was the first one, and then the Elite, which I use on a daily basis. Both of those, I kind of had hopes for that, and they're both great devices. They're solid.
Yeah,
they're well.
Like
they are awesome. Neither one of them have that je ne sais quoi. That intangible thing that the Pixelbook that we've talked about for years with the Pixelbook and the Pixelbook Go and even the Pixels before that.
Yeah.
This is the first device that's really truly given off that vibe. Galaxy Chromebook got real close, but then it tripped a little bit.
And I remember being on the showroom floor and thinking, like, with the Galaxy Chromebook, like, okay, this does feel like and from what we understand, that's kind of what was happening. Like, Samsung wanted to take a swing, and they did, you know. And the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook was, if most Chromebooks, good Chromebooks, get to what we would call like a 90% solution, I feel like it went to like 93 or 94. Yeah. Like they put some niceties in there. But, you know, I could tell on the showroom floor when I picked it up how wobble or how bendy like the lid was where the screen is. Like, ooh, that's probably going to be a problem when you flip it around. Right. It didn't magnetize when you closed it, even though it was perfectly boxy in its shape.
Should have.
Yeah. Would have been perfect for that, you know.
Yep.
They also chose to go with a 16:9 screen, which is terrible, and a 13-14-inch device when you're going to convert it. You know, and so those are the things that kind of just ding. You thought about it probably and went, eh, we have these screens lying around, so suck it up. We're going to do this instead.
And price.
Well, and it overheated, and it had a 4-hour, 3.5-hour battery life. And so those are the things, obviously, that you know, from my just general user standpoint, like it was really pretty, and it felt nice for a few minutes, and they were always just like, ugh. And that's kind of how I feel about the Dragonfly Elite after it being around for a little bit. I'm like, there's a weird creak down by the trackpad that I noticed, you know, way after our review period. It wasn't enough that I'm going to go, like, write an article about it and be like, whoa, because it could just be ours or whatever.
But no, I will say.
It's a non-moving trackpad. Yeah. Why is it creaking?
I will say, and it's not to the point that it's unusual, but the fan ports on the new Pro are on the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even ports on the Elite. It's a grill directly on the bottom. It looks like that grill, but directly on the bottom. It gets warm. It gets uncomfortably warm when you lap it and you sit and work on it. And I'm not talking like you've worked on it for like 4 hours. Like I can sit down to bang out a quick article and it's like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a good thing.
And from what HP was telling us, like the development of that device was just weird. That's why it ended up with so many different SKUs, and the way it was sold was weird. And, you know, they really wanted to try something. And I appreciate HP for trying that one. From a consumer standpoint, it didn't have a ton of success because it was hard to find for a long time.
Yeah,
once
pricey.
It came around, and then when it did come around, it was super pricey. They never put together a model to say, hey, here's the consumer version. Yeah, let's go to Best Buy and buy this one. It just never happened. And it's a shame because it had all the stuff. There were all the checks, you know, like you got everything. This one feels, if you're okay with a clamshell Chromebook, like they did that. Like they said, okay, let's take everything we did with that one that was good. Let's just put it here. And now how can we refine it? Yeah, refine all the rough edges and sand those down and really think about what it feels like to pick something up. Or really think, because like the Elite's not bendy or anything, but it doesn't feel like
if you've ever picked up a Pixelbook Go, you know
especially
what we're talking about. If you haven't, find one and pick it up.
Well, the Pixelbook is this way, too.
Pixelbook's the same way. But the lid and everything on the Go, it just feels... Because there are devices, I can go grab one of those Dell Latitudes over there, solid as a rock.
Oh, yeah.
But it also weighs 73 pounds.
Right.
I mean, it's a murder weapon, let's be honest. But it's an enterprise device. Yeah. This is consumer. This is like I'm going to buy a nice MacBook Air.
It's a prosumer device.
Yeah. And that's what HP said. They said this, and in the preview that we saw a few weeks ago, they said this is a consumer. This is what, you know, Joe, Susie, Bob consumer goes out and I want a device that will do all of the things and it looks good and it's built well, but I don't need an enterprise device.
Yeah.
Cause we clarified, this is not an enterprise device.
Yeah.
This is going to be probably Best Buy, wherever else.
Yeah.
One SKU, which is awesome because they probably learned that from Google. They probably looked at Google and Google said, hey, we made the Pixelbook Go. This is the one that sold. Nobody's buying the 4K one. Nobody's buying was the base model one?
The M3.
The M3. They bought the M5. It had this much RAM. And so that's what they did.
Yeah. Kudos to them for that, too. It's like, I want the HP Dragonfly Pro.
Right.
Chromebook. That's it.
And it's a good name.
Yeah.
Oh, and you 1200.
Didn't throw Elite in there, or C427, or
the Pro Art Studio Pro Book Pro, Pro
Pro Pro Pro
Pro Pro. But 1200 nits display.
Yeah.
I think we kind of glanced over.
We filmed it on about 15% brightness.
Yeah, it is the,
that right there is at about 15%
because the Elite has a 1000 nit offering that you can get, and oddly enough, right now it's cheaper than the standard screen. But it's a
perfect example of how ridiculous.
HP is just crazy, but 100 nit display with the SureView, which is a very enterprise focused feature, but 1200 nits, brightest display ever put up. You don't see a lot of other, what's the brightness on a Mac? That's not 1,200.
No, they're usually like 800 or 900. Yeah,
you don't see pretty high. Very few, unless you're a designer, very few Windows devices with that kind of display.
Yeah. So yeah, gorgeous display. I like the colors. It's full sRGB, all that kind of stuff. And it's a 16x10 quad HD, right? Yeah, it's quad HD.
Yeah.
8 megapixel front facing camera. So that's the first one there too, right?
Yeah, because the only other one was
the Pixel or the Pixel tablet.
So, there's a tablet.
It was 5 on the front.
Yeah, does the Duet have an 8 on the front?
On the back. Pretty sure all of them have 5 on the front, 8 on the back.
Right. So it's the first 8 on front-facing. A laptop that we've seen. Yeah.
So, and with what HP did with the Elite, you know, the Elite Dragonfly had a great camera on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just really great camera. So, once it gets, it's all finished and tuned and
calibrated. Yeah.
It's
it does
awesome.
Have it. We didn't know because it didn't say in the press release, but it does have a fingerprint sensor right by the power button,
right,
which
up top.
Is cool.
And then you've got the speakers. It was really loud at Pepcom, so we don't know, but I just have this vivid memory of turning up one of our videos and hearing my voice coming through that thing and then hearing the opening track to one of our videos and feeling the machine.
Yeah, the table vibrate. Was almost like vibrating.
Like it was putting out sound and not just thin, tinny sound. Like it had, you can just feel it. You know, when a device is putting out like good sound, those mids
and
lows.
And having a good build quality adds a lot to that.
Right.
I mean,
it's not shaking all around.
The CX34 is an example. It's not an all metal, but it's a good build and that helps with the amplification. Yep. But this has 4 speakers. So you have 2 grills on the top on either side, and then on each side there's what looks like a small CD port. I'm assuming those are the other outward facing speakers.
Kind of long, like it's not like your typical little speaker you know that you
which
see
makes
on
me
the bottom.
Wonder if they don't have like a couple if they have 4 speakers, if 2 of them aren't more of like a mid-low range type speaker pushing out the side.
Because in the press materials it initially looked like that might have been like the fan port or something, but it's not. Those are speaker ports on either side, and then it has a fan port right beneath the screen,
like in the hinge basically. And so it's very hidden, the fan port is, and then clean sides, 2 USB Type-C on either side.
That's it.
They're all Thunderbolt 4, so they can all quick charge, they can all output monitors,
headphone, microphone jack.
Nope.
Not even that.
Love it. You hook up your Bluetooth or you get you a dongle.
And I don't know if we
some people get upset about that, but I'm like, if you're going for this very minimalistic, straightforward device, that works.
Yeah,
2023.
The people that complain about, like, this isn't going to be in a classroom where kids are using headphones. Like they said, this is a prosumer device. Prosumers have AirPods or Pixel Buds.
Yeah, I don't know the last time I plugged a set of headphones into the headphone microphone jack on my Chromebook.
I mean, whenever I edit.
Oh, on your Chromebook. Oh, okay.
This is it.
On editing. That's the only time I ever plug in anything. And I don't know if we mentioned it, but haptic trackpad.
Yes.
It makes a return, which is awesome.
But it doesn't have the... What was it, the Dragonfly or the CX9 that had the little tap in it?
That's CX9. Which
doesn't do anything fancy
useless.
Like that, but...
It's useless.
So that feature would be better with a haptic trackpad,
right,
because if you're
that's why I was thinking it was
if
maybe
you're a
Dragonfly
number cruncher
elite.
You know, using a keypad without looking at it, if you can't feel the haptics from it,
but the other thing too is like just like your home keys on the keyboard, the number 5's got a little thing on it, so your middle finger can feel that.
You ain't get none of that.
You don't get any of that on a trackpad. So yeah, silly feature,
but haptic trackpad, which is very cool.
Yeah, and I didn't even look at their function key. I'm looking at their function.
They
right
do
now.
Have the mic mute like the Elite does, which is cool. There's
RGB
a screenshot
keyboard.
RGB, which some people bagged on, but
I just turn it off.
If
right, make it white.
If
and
you
move
don't
on.
Like it,
it's yeah. Again, a pro thing. Consumer device. Pro consumers like their devices to be kind of unique. So I want my entire keyboard to be teal because that's my signature color.
And by the way, that's
my soul color.
Exactly. My aura is feeling magenta today.
The RGB looks better on this keyboard than, you know, I'm a little color deficient and I could see all the colors on this one. Like even in the lighting of Pepcom and everything.
That's
I'm
those
like, ooh,
those
I can
muted
see them.
Keys really, really help.
It's I like that too.
And all one color, the entire device except for the bezels, obviously. Yeah.
When the backlighting was off, were the keycaps,
I ever turned it off.
I don't know that we looked at that.
I don't know. Hopefully they are dark.
Yeah.
Probably are, but
I would hope so. We'll have gotten some B-roll. We'll have to go back and look. I think there was maybe a few shots of B-roll where it wasn't on.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to go look.
But yeah, I mean, it reminds me so much of the Pro, and there's stuff that I can't, it's so hard to explain unless you've picked up a Pixelbook Pro. But if you haven't, go pick up a MacBook or like a MacBook Air. Go pick up any of the Surface laptops and just feel the handle them for a minute, and you'll feel it. You'll feel what that attention to detail, the Dell XPS line, like those types of devices where it's like, hey, we got the specs. We did all that homework. We're good here. Now we're going to take the last bit of time and really refine the overall package here. And that's what this feels like. It feels so reminiscent of the Pixelbook Go, just with upgraded everything. I mean, it like the Pixelbook Go, we kind of backed. It's like, well, it'd be nice if it had a fingerprint scanner. It'd be nice if it had
screen better
screen, because it had the 4K model, and the 4K screen sucked on it real bad.
Yeah, it was crazy expensive.
And, you know, and so like, but other than that, it kind of did everything you wanted. And so that's kind of where this one falls to me. And I'm one finger lift too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Touchscreen?
Yeah.
Okay, touchscreen. It's just like the Go, where it has the... And there are times I use the touchscreen on the Go, because I still work from the Go.
I do. I don't think it's necessary to have a touchscreen. It's not
but
anymore.
I like swiping notifications.
Yeah, little stuff.
Just sometimes if you're working on it and something comes up, you just reach up, poke it instead of click.
Yeah.
You know, and it's 2 or 3 seconds, but when it happens all over the place, like, it does kind of wear on you a little bit not to have a touchscreen. And every once in a while, you're going to have an Android app that just sometimes you can't find the keyboard thing, or they forgot to add the mouse control for whatever. Just reach up, touch the screen, you know? And so I can't wait. I can't wait for this. For me, like convertible Chromebooks, I don't really have a whole lot of use for them. So just a laptop.
I would say that most people don't.
They probably don't.
I don't know.
Oh, it's there in case I need it.
Well, there were times I feel like when you had the Pixelbook, there were times in meetings you would flip it around. But that's somebody working in design in a marketing firm in meetings once a month, maybe.
Now,
where you
nowadays,
flip it around.
I rarely ever flip
convertible
devices around.
I think I've ever put the Elite
around.
In convertible. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... For a handful of people, I'm sure it is useful. But for most people, it's just not that useful.
Yeah.
I could see, like, GeForce Now, maybe. You know, flip it into that in your lap and play. But I've been playing GeForce Now with a controller.
Yeah.
With the Acer 516GE.
Yeah.
Now, I will go Roblox. If my son wants me to play Roblox with him, I will go convertible for that. Because touch is easier than keyboard.
Right. And so, I mean, those things are nice.
Right.
When you need them.
But if going clamshell allows you to maybe get the one finger lift, a little bit of extra build quality here and
Keep the bezels down.
Keep the bezels down. Whatever. It's just so great. They didn't give us pricing.
No.
They didn't give us release date.
They were
very tight-lipped.
So hard.
On pricing.
$1,000.
That's where I think it's going to be. $9.99.
If it comes in lower than $1,000, it's going to be like...
I'd be shocked.
Insane.
That would be awesome.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's $1,099, but I feel like as a consumer device, they need to keep it to three digits.
Yeah. $9.99
or $9.49. That would be good.
Ooh, $9.49 would be pretty saucy.
Yeah, and it, you know, internally, 12 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs, or 16 gigs of RAM, 12th gen Core i5, and then 256 internal NVMe storage, and that's it.
There are
no other options.
Yeah, no excuse.
But what Gabe was alluding to earlier is the one thing. It's like it's a little weird. Apparently, with Xe graphics and Intel processors, they revert back to the UHD graphics, which is the one, the kind of GPU
standard
thing that came before.
I saw this email.
If there are not two RAM slots being used, not available, but being used in the device. And so when I read that, I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. I guess maybe it does. I don't know. It seems like a really stupid thing. So what it seems like is, even if there are two RAM slots, I don't think there are in this thing. I don't think it's going to be very upgradable at all. But if there's only one RAM slot in use, which they have one 16 gig of RAM stick, and they put it in there and they seal it up and they ship it off, well, guess what? That chip reverts back to UHD graphics because of that.
So you're telling me, like, one of these Chromebooks that come out only has a single stick in it, it's going to revert
to UHD.
That's probably worth sharing with the world.
Somebody like wrote a LinkedIn does like LinkedIn have a blog or something or someplace like it had LinkedIn? Yeah, at the LinkedIn. Top.
You can write posts on.
He wrote LinkedIn, a very lengthy yeah. post about this phenomenon and with Iris XE.
Makes me wonder with like these like 714s and stuff that are out there. Are they 2 4 gigs or is it 1 8 gig? Because if it's 2 4 gigs, then you're or 1 8 gig, then you're not getting.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you go back and read that article he posted, like he shows with two of the same laptops, he runs tests and gets you know. Pretty considerable performance drop in heavy GPU oriented tasks. Apart.
Yeah.
It's intriguing and weird, and it's an Intel thing, unfortunately. So I've reached out to HP and asked.
I was gonna say HP should be able to clarify that for us.
Yeah, so I want to get that clarified. But if you look at the stat sheet right now, it does say UHD graphics. It does not say Iris right. XE.
Didn't they tell us Iris XE at the show?
Maybe, but with the
that could have
the Dragonfly, I think. Last year they didn't put Iris XE or no they listed an i3 on their website. They listed the i3 with Iris XE and we're like, what, there's an i3? No, there is no there such isn't. Thing
it was a misprint.
So I'm like, until we hear I'm not gonna say either way, but yeah, that would be a little bit of a bummer because you got a pro device not utilizing the GPU that's inside of it because of a RAM stick.
That would so stink. Silly. That would stink. Like,
if it's 16 gigs, fine. Bust it into 2 8 gigs and throw them in there.
Right.
Sure. Like, I have a hard time believing there's only one slot for RAM inside that motherboard.
Surely somebody thought about this.
Yeah.
Some engineer who's in charge of RAM at HP is going to be like,
oh, crap.
Oh, well, bummer.
Or there should be a way you could, in the firmware, just tell it to force override it. That.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, Intel should give you that option.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Anywho,
it's a weird... weird thing that
hopefully that's not the case, but we'll know
even if it is,
we'll know more soon.
It's not like it's going to be slow or anything,
right? Right,
it just might not be the one you want to buy if you're going to really leverage Steam games down the road.
That's
So we'll know more. We'll hopefully hear back from HP and we'll report on that. But regardless, this is a fantastic Chromebook, and it's so cool to see HP refine the Dragonfly and put out this consumer version that is just looks to be fantastic. So,
and I'll say this too about the whole GPU thing, cause even if they come back and say, yeah, that's the case, you know, we didn't have space for 2 RAM sticks and that's the way Intel processors work. Unfortunately, I'm still wanting this thing 100%. Like it's not even, it's not for me. It's not even a thing I'm not even thinking about. Cause if I'm gonna play games, I'm going to probably play them on GeForce Now. And it's just not one of those things that's going to keep me from it because it wasn't something that kept me from loving and enjoying the Pixelbook Go.
No, because
it never had
if I'm buying a new laptop, it's not because of that. If I'm buying something specific for Steam Gaming, I'm getting a Chromebook.
That's going to get a box and slap a bunch of RAM into it.
Because I'm not going to sit and play 6 hours of Day of Defeat on a laptop.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah. So we'll obviously we'll update you all as we find out more on this device. But go check out all of our hands-on videos. Basically everything except for the Asus Chromebox.
Add-in one should be up.
The add-in one should be up soon.
Yeah.
We'll link everything down in the show notes so that you all can go see these devices. We tried our best to get some nice shots in, you know, conference rooms,
Vegas lighting.
But go check out some of the short form content that we put out. We kind of did, you know, little quick videos of each of the devices, some cool stuff that we saw, did that on Shorts, TikTok, and Instagram, Reels. So you can go check that out too at Chrome Unbox on all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching, make sure to give this video a thumbs up. Go down there, click subscribe, and make sure to ring the bell so you get an alert when we put out another video, just like this one. Okay, that's it for this one. See you all next time. Bye-bye. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com. And follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.